going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
He hosts the Starting Lineup Monday through Friday on Sirius XM NBA. He's also on the YES Network. For now. Frank, dude, you have any more jobs? You going to be putting your hat in the ring for the Knicks head coaching job?
I could definitely use the money. I like how your producer gave me the good walk-up music, too. That's a producer that's thinking. There you go.
He was paying attention. All right, Frank, let's get right into it. First, I want to get your take. I've heard some reports. I've talked to some people. Do you feel like this decision to move on from Tom Thibodeau was all Leon Rose, not James Dolan?
No, oh, come on. Leon Rose was Tom's agent. He's been his friend for 30 years, and Leon is very conservative by nature. So you're telling me after the Knicks made it to their first conference finals in 25 years, the first hire that Leon Rose ever made, he thought, you know what? We probably need to get rid of this guy. Now, if they had meetings over like a week and things settled down a little bit and maybe 2-3 weeks after the season, maybe that's something different. I think everyone was pretty emotional. I'm sure some of the players, you know, probably in those exit interviews and their reports that Jim Dolan was actually a part of that. So the Knicks acted, I think, based on emotion. Look at the comparison. Minnesota made it to back-to-back conference finals. You know, they lose. It's not Chris Finch needs to go, and we have to make all these dramatic moves. Their GM, President Tim Connelly, he has a press conference to discuss the season that they had. Go back to last year. You know, Rick Carlisle, who, you know, we all know is a very good coach, his team blew. I was at that game up in Boston. They blew game one to Boston in the conference finals. They then got swept. Did Indiana fire Rick? Did they fire Rick Carlisle? Did they make it seem like the sky was falling? They looked at it like, you know what, we made a pretty good jump. And that's the thing that I don't understand about the Knicks. And I don't need the Knicks fans to tell me we're here to win a championship. Yes, I'm well aware of that. So are the other 30 teams in the league. Basically, every professional team wants to win a championship. So do the sports fans. It doesn't make you unique. But the Knicks had a really good season. Compared to the last 25 years, it was an outstanding season. You knocked off the defending champs. I don't think they looked at it from a 30,000-foot view. I think they just acted on emotion. They got rid of the coach, and now they have to find someone. Good luck with that.
Do you think Jalen Brunson's on board with this?
Probably not, but, you know, I mean, I think it's a little bit different, you know, where he is right now in the league and maybe the age that he's at. I think Patrick Ewing would have put up a bigger fight, but, you know, maybe Jalen Brunson, personality-wise, I'm sure they knew how he felt. Obviously, they didn't really care that much how he felt. I don't know. You know, it's funny, too, Sal, and you see all this stuff. When you see everyone telling you why the coach should go and, you know, all of a sudden everyone is John Wooden. They start telling you about the offense isn't creative enough and he doesn't use the bench. No one ever brings up the results. How are the results? They won 50-plus games back-to-back seasons. They made it to the conference finals. They knocked off the defending champs. So I don't understand how when they lose against – so they beat Detroit, they beat Boston, against Indiana, they have to use more of the bench because they can't play their two best players together because they're not good defensive players. So now you have to use a little bit more of your bench, and everyone's saying, see, aha, he should have been using the bench all season long. They didn't use the bench against Boston, and they won. And they lost Indiana. So why are you saying he should use the bench, the end-all, be-all? It's bizarre.
You think
all my years covering the NBA, when I went to the finals and it was Michael Jordan and then later on with Steph Curry, we never sat around saying, I wonder how come the ninth man didn't play. Nobody ever said that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a ridiculous conversation. BT and I have gotten into it as far as the bench goes. I understand people, the minutes police, and they think that that's an issue, but and maybe against Indiana, different story. I can't be focused on the eighth or ninth player on the team. I'm more focused on the superstar, which brings me to Karl Anthony Towns. You think this has to do with Karl Anthony Towns and maybe him not being able to be coached properly by Tibbs?
No, I think he's coached properly by him. I think, you know, he had a really good year. He finished, he make All-NBA third team. You know, Carl came to the Knicks with the reputation that he's not a good defensive player. So it's not breaking news that he struggled defensively. That's a big part of it. And I think, you know, when you're dealing in the pressure cooker that is New York, and I like Carl a lot, I think he's getting way too much criticism. But when he, you know, hurt his knee in game four, and then, of course, it came out, you know, he's questionable and whether or not he could play. I knew he would play well in game five because I think he felt like the pressure was off of him. If I don't play well, I could blame my knee. If I play well, look how heroic I was playing with the bad knee. And look at what's been leaked out since the season ended, you know, from his people. He's been getting so beaten up that I think they felt like they needed to protect him. So they leaked out that he received treatment on his knee. What does that mean? He got a massage? He got ice on his knee? He didn't get the word treatment is a lot different than procedure. It's not like they stuck a needle in his knee or he had to get some kind of surgery. So everyone is kind of like running for cover right now because now that they got rid of the coach, the next people that are going to be on the hit list will be the players in terms of the criticism and the front office. Last year, Josh Hart was the toast of the town in New York, throwing out the first pitch. He's everywhere to be found. He asked out of the lineup, has he done a podcast yet? I know he loves doing a podcast. Why doesn't he do his podcast and explain how poorly he played against Indiana?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be doing that podcast soon, which everybody's going to be waiting to hear from both him and Jalen Brunson as far as the Knicks now with their new head coach, or without Tom Thibodeau looking for a new head coach. We're talking with Frank Isola. You can catch him on Sirius XM, starting lineup, ESPN, Yes Network, covering the Nets as well. Did you see this report, Frank? I started the show talking about this with the Hoops Wire, had the report about players, multiple players on the Knicks, being unhappy with the presence of Rick Brunson. Give me your thoughts on Brunson's presence and maybe what that report could mean there for the Knicks moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? So I think if you went around to every team in the league and you gave the players truth serum, I bet you a lot of them would say, I can't stand our head coach. I can't stand that one assistant coach. So I think the fact that he happens to be related to the star player on the team, I don't really understand what the issue would be. It certainly didn't prevent Jalen Brunson from having two great seasons back-to-back. It certainly didn't prevent Karl Anthony Towns from having a great season. It didn't prevent OG Anunoby from having his best season in the NBA. And it didn't prevent Josh Hart from becoming the, you know, setting the single season record for triple doubles by a Knick player. So I think that, see, this is kind of the vacuum that that you have now. Now that the coach is gone, and now it's everyone's kind of looking for stories, and every little thing, everyone's going to get called out. I'm not so sure. You know, Rick Brunson, you got to remember this too. It's not like the Knicks hired Rick Brunson so they could get Jalen Brunson to come to the team. Rick had worked basically, I think he worked 1 year with George Karl in Denver, if I'm not mistaken. But he's been Tom's guy. Tom had him as a player. He's known him since, I think Rick was in high school up in Massachusetts. And, you know, Rick worked with Tom in Chicago. He worked with him in Minnesota. He worked with him in New York. So that's been part of his coaching staff. So I think whatever players are probably saying that are probably the weak-minded guys that are just looking to deflect blame from themselves.
Do you think then that Rick Brunson would stay on regardless of who the Knicks hire as the next head coach?
Well, that'll be interesting to see because, you know, the Knicks didn't give Tom full control over his staff. You know, they placed a couple of coaches on there. He did eventually get most of his guys on the staff. So, you know, I don't know if it's Johnny Bryan, if it's Jason Kidd, if it's fill in the blank. I think you have to leave it up to that coach to decide. But here's the thing, too, the risk that you run. You know, Jalen likes having his father around. Right. And nobody is harder on Jalen than Rick is. It's not like Rick is sitting around blaming everyone. I mean, he gets on Jalen a lot. From everything I heard, he was really ticked off at Jalen after game one. If you go back to the final 14 seconds when he passes the ball to Karl Anthony Towns, and he should have run to get it back. Because in that moment, you'd feel a lot more confident with Jalen Brunson at the free throw line. Now, it's still on Karl to make two free throws. He missed one. And then a few seconds later, OG Anunoby went one of two. So that, you know, like Rick doesn't sit there with his son and say, you know what, it's the other 14 knuckleheads that are blame, and you're completely blameless. You know, he's actually good for his son. And again, let's look at the results. Like, it's just weird how we always want to make it about everything else, and it goes back to Jeff Van Gundy's famous quote from more than 20 years ago, if they can't get you on results, they'll get you on relationships. And I think that's the case here with Rick. I certainly think it's the case with Tom. You can't complain about the results. So now everyone was going to complain about the offense that he runs. They were top five offense, by the way. Defensively, they don't get after it. Well, they do start two guys that aren't great defensive players. No one is going to bring up, well, they beat Boston. They won 50 games. They made it to the conference finals first time in 25 years. That there's no debating. So that's why everyone focuses on everything else.
And I do think that's why most Knick fans are upset with this one. All right, you mentioned Jeff Van Gundy. He would be my number one choice. I've been begging for it forever. Do you think, first, Jeff Van Gundy would be interested, and then second, would the Knicks be interested in him?
I think the Knicks would definitely be interested in him. How could you not be? You know, Jeff did a really good job as Ty Lue's assistant coach this year. He and Ty Lue get along great. I know Jeff has a really good relationship with the owner, Steve Ballmer. Whether Jeff would move in after Tom left, because the two of them are really, really close. That's the part which I would have to let Jeff speak for himself, but I find that one a little hard to believe, just with the way that it ended with Tom. I don't know if Jeff, who's one of his best friends, would all of a sudden go to, even though Jeff wants a head coaching job, and it's a joke that people don't hire him, because, you know, everybody now, they go for like the much younger guy. We had a guy call up our radio show today and said, you know, he wants Johnny Bryant, because younger guys relate better to the players. And I said, well, how's it working out for Rick Carlisle? It's just a matter of whether or not you can coach. Like, don't give me all this. Like, the players, you know what the players care about? That you can make them better so you can get paid. So if you're 100 years old and you help the player do that, they'll call you a player's coach.
And what's,
if you're 32 years old and fight with the players and they don't get better and you lose, they're not going to say, you know what, I had a really good relationship with him. He's a cool guy. They're not going to say
that. The age should have nothing to do with it. And Van Gundy's as likable as an individual as there is around the NBA. What's his, do you know his relationship with Leon Rose and or Jalen Brunson, Van Gundy?
Well, he's known, I mean, Jalen was, you know, kicking around the Knick locker room all the way back in 99. Right. And you have to remember, too, like Jeff and Rick Brunson, you know, were very close when Rick was a player.
Right.
He was, you know, the last guy on the roster. You know, it was almost like he was part of the coaching staff. And Rick had this way about him where, you know, he hung around with Marcus Camby and Latrell Sprewell, who were almost like the renegades. I don't mean that in a bad way, like the renegades on the team. But Rick also had a good relationship with Patrick Ewing. He also had a good relationship with Allen Houston. He also had a good relationship with Charlie Ward. Like Rick, like maybe even back then, was thinking like a coach. He knew how to maintain. The locker room was kind of never divided in this weird way because of Larry Johnson. And because of Rick, just like the way Rick kind of meshed the older guys with the younger guys together and really made it work.
What about Rick being a head coach at some point? Maybe not here for this spot. You think Rick wants to be a head coach and potentially leave Jalen? Or is there any chance he gets this job?
I don't know. I think a lot of guys know that that's a tough job, being a head coach. And I think kind of he enjoys his role now. I remember a few years ago him saying, oh, eventually at some point I'll become a...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Scout, I think, like, he obviously wants to be part of it, you know, as a head coach. You know, everybody always says they wouldn't do it, and then they get offered a job, and then they take the job. So I'm not so sure about that one.
All right, so Van Gundy's realistic, right? He would be my first choice. I don't know. You have more insight than I do. That's why I'm asking you, but at least he's realistic. You were the first person I saw mention the next guy's name, Jason Kidd. He would be my second choice if I had to, because I want experience, familiarity with New York. Him and Brunson get along together. What do you think about the possibility of Jason Kidd becoming the Knicks' next head coach?
Yeah, and I think it kind of tells you that the Knicks really didn't have a plan, because their first, when you heard Thomas firing, people started mentioning replacements. It was Chris Finch, Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd. All those guys are under contract. Even Jeff Van Gundy's under contract with another team. I think Jason Kidd is an excellent coach. He knows the market. I think he had a pretty good relationship with Jim Dolan when he was here. Casey Smith is like the head of performance for the Knicks, who was in Dallas for a really long time, knows Jason. And then, like you said, Jason has a good relationship with Rick Brunson, whether or not Jalen Brunson. Now, whether or not they could get him is another story. I mean, you know, Dallas was a team that was really, you know, in the sewer, so to speak. And then look what happened. They win the number one overall pick. So now you're looking at Cooper Flagg with Anthony Davis and Kyrie. You think he's eventually going to come back at some point next season. Dallas could have a really good team. So could they blow him out of the water? Would have to give compensation? Yes. But, you know, it's also funny, too. And if you went around the league and you picked out any coach, Sal, and you want to make a positive, you want to make a case for why he'd be a good hire, or you want to make a positive why he'd be bad, and it's a negative thing and maybe he should even be fired, like, think about Jason Kidd. So everyone talked about the Knicks being run into the ground, right? So this year, Dallas had Luka, missed a ton of games with a calf injury. Kyrie Irving blew out his knee. Anthony Davis got hurt in his first game. Derek Lively missed a long time with an injury. And Daniel Gafford missed a long time with an injury. So no one ever brings that stuff up. Everybody always makes it seem like there's only one team where guys get hurt, when it happens all over the league. And the funny thing is, this year, the Knicks were healthy. It wasn't Jason. They didn't have Jason Tatum blowing out his Achilles. They didn't have Steph Curry pulling a hamstring in game one. You know, injuries happen all the time. It's just interesting with Jason Kidd that, you know, wasn't there the one game where they almost didn't have enough guys to play because so many guys were banged up. So my thing is, the fans think there's this ideal perfect coach out there that everything is going to work out perfectly. Just be careful with that. That doesn't exist.
BT and Sal on the Fan with Talk with Frank Isola. A couple more for you, Frank. Johnny Bryant, you think? Now, for me, I'd go nuts if it's a head coach without experience. I know that that's happened in some spots where there was success. People keep talking about Steve Kerr. Yeah, there's a big difference between where the Knicks were at and where Steve Kerr took over. But what do you think of Johnny Bryant as a potential next head coach for the Knicks?
You know, it's weird. I always have kind of this, like, soft spot for the assistant coach who didn't play in the NBA and really has to kind of defy the odds. And I mean, you know, Chuck Daly became a Hall of Fame coach. And then you have the Knicks' most recent coach didn't play in the NBA. And the coach before that was really successful was Jeff Van Gundy, who also didn't play in the NBA. So, like, part of you wants to root for Johnny Bryant. Now, you know, some of the reports that I got on him are somewhat lukewarm. And I just laugh at when people say, you know, I'd love to see Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd, or Johnny Bryant. What do you know about Johnny Bryant? What do you know about him? I mean, he's never been a head coach in the league before. So he could turn out to be a prodigy. He could turn out to be a great coach, or he could turn out to be a disaster. It's not like you can't put him in the group of Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd, and Jeff Van Gundy. They have a proven track record. So you would be handing over a team to a guy that's never coached, and the bar has now been set by the franchise. They won 10 games, and that wasn't good enough in the playoffs. So next year, you know, you're walking into a situation where you have to win 11 games. Now, you could say maybe we'll give the coach a honeymoon period, but the bar has been set. So next year, like for the players who Tom took bullets for them all year long, did you ever hear Tom throw a player under the bus? So next year, this is a lot of it's going to be on the players. A lot of it's going to be on the front office. I don't know. Would they give it to a guy that's never been a head coach at any level to take over a team that they believe could be a championship team?
You think Tibbs wanted Carl Anthony Towns or just went along for the ride?
No. Tom just wants good players. All that stuff with, you know, Tom having a falling out with Carl Anthony Towns. You know, Carl became an all-star for the first time under Tom. Tom's not like that. If a player's had an issue with him in the past, so Jimmy Butler, remember the whole thing with Jimmy Butler, where Jimmy Butler got mad at the owner of Minnesota, Glenn Taylor, because he tried to, he offered him a contract, but it wasn't the full max. So then Jimmy Butler, as he's prone to do, acted like an immature baby and, you know, basically was protesting until they traded him. And he really undermined the season, and he really undermined the coach that had brought him to Minnesota, the guy that developed him into a terrific player in Chicago. The next year, when Tom was out of the league, or 2 years later, when Tom was out of the league and Jimmy Butler's in Miami, Tom's like spending a week in Miami hanging out with Jimmy Butler. You know, so he's not, like, I don't know, he looks at that part of it like it's a business. So with Carl, he thought that Carl could make the team better, and he was all for the trade. Now, he liked Julius Randle, he liked Dante DiVincenzo. But you name the player, you know, if Kevin Durant became available, Tom would say, yeah, let's try to do that. He's great. We'll make it work somehow. I don't think he ever looks at it as if Kevin Durant, oh, my God, he can end up getting me fired. He doesn't look at it like that. I think the fans don't get that. Tom is just competitive, and he wants to win. And if he feels like he has the players that can help him win, and let's face it, they went further than last year's team did. So the trade from that standpoint worked out. I get it. Everyone's treating it like it's a failure because, you know, the 25-year-old Knick fan knows what it takes to win in New York. The coach who's in his 60s doesn't. I get it. They think it's a failure. I mean, you're pretty smart, so you've been around a long time. It's a disappointing finish to the season, no question about it. The season is not a failure, I'm sorry.
I haven't seen it in 25 years, for goodness sake. I mean, come on. I'm old enough to remember when the Knicks were good, when this was a constant thing. They finally got it back, and now they move on. All right, two more for you, Frank. Does Tibbs get another job? Would he take another job in the NBA as a head coach?
Oh, I think he would take another one. Whether or not he gets one, you know, it's tough. I mean, yeah, you have so many, you know, owners have to sign off on things. You got all these guys in the front office. Look at the Phoenix job. You know, Jordan Ott, you know, hopefully it works out for him. Again, another assistant coach that's bounced around a little bit and finally getting a break. You know, he's taking over, you know, a team that really struggled. Kevin Durant probably won't be there. What's the connection? Jordan Ott worked for Tom Izzo at Michigan State. Who played for Tom Izzo at Michigan State? Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, who was a walk-on there. So there's a connection. There always has to be. I don't think Jordan Ott is getting hired by the Phoenix Suns unless there was some kind of connection to Matt Ishbia and also to Tom Izzo. So I think wherever Tom goes, I think the team's going to be successful because if you look at his run in Chicago, turn that around, turn Minnesota around, turn the New York Knicks around. Whether or not, you know, a front office is going to want to do that remains to be seen. I would hire him if I'm some of these teams that are constantly losing, and that's why I got to give Leon Rose credit. You know, Leon Rose, you know, his first hire was going to be Tom, and Tom did a really good job for the Knicks and Leon Rose, and that's why Leon Rose should have come out after the season. Instead of having exit interviews, listen to the players. They should have celebrated the year that they had and be happy and be proud about it like most teams would be. I mean, they made the Final Four. Like, being one of the last four teams in the NBA is pretty good, especially when one of the wins that you had was knocking off the defending champs.
Yeah, and especially for a franchise that hasn't done it in so long. Yep. Do you have any issue with the Knicks partying? I don't know if you saw that exclusive with the Post. They had all the pictures. Knicks partying basically 24 hours after getting bounced by the Pacers.
Nah, I you know, the players are, you know, it's a long season. It's a grind. I don't mind stuff like that. I mean, I think I always look at professional athletes like this. You know, I've been in a lot of losing locker rooms. I mean, I was in I remember being in the Pirates locker room with Barry Bonds after they lost that crazy game to the Atlanta Braves. That was the Sid Breen.
Francisco Cabrera.
Cabrera, yeah. You know, Barry Bonds is basically crying. It's like, you know, this unbelievable player who struggled again. I think in that moment, the players are upset. But I think what makes them great is, you know, they leave and it's like, okay, now we have to move on. And it's fine if they blow off steam. I think if those pictures came out after game five and they were partying after they won game five and maybe not solely focused on game six, maybe that would be an issue. But the season is over. I mean, you know, today at 5 o'clock, a lot of people are going to get off work. I mean, your producers are probably always out partying too. When they get off work, they're going to go out and take it easy. So we're going to take pictures of those guys. And I'm going to talk about that tomorrow on my radio show.
All right. That was really a setup to what I wanted to finish with here. What, do you think Ewing and the boys were partying after the missed finger roll in 1995?
All right. I think it's also different. We're also in the Instagram age. So, you know, maybe they were doing it, but nobody was really taking pictures.
Hey, you were around that team. You knew those guys as well as anybody. You think Patrick Ewing, John Starks, Charles Oakley, those guys were partying after Game 7 at Miss Finger Roll in 1995?
Well, if they were, I wish they would invite me. I would have liked to hang out with some of those parties. I can only imagine what was going on. Listen, it was a bit of a different generation. And, you know, when you were, I mean, I still remember being in the locker room in 2000, and you'll remember this, Sal. You know, the last time the Knicks made the conference finals, and that ended up being, you know, that game six against Indiana ended up being Patrick's last ever game in a Knick uniform. And that was the series in that game where the crowd was groaning a lot when he would catch the ball. So even though Patrick was playing less minutes, taking less shots per game, he was still getting most of the blame. And the image of him sitting with the ice on his knees and his feet in a bucket and just looking like completely beaten down, that like, what do people want from me? Like, I took on a lesser role and I'm still the guy getting destroyed. He didn't say that, but you could tell that that's how he felt. So I don't think that night Patrick went out after a game. That's for sure. But that image of him always sticks out because it's a lot different today. I told him a few weeks ago when I saw him at a game, I said, you came along at the wrong time. I said, the way it is today, we're not allowed to criticize players anymore. We have to give all the players a safe space. I said, now the coach only gets blamed. I said, you blew it, dude. You never should have been born in Michael Jordan's era. And if you were born now, you'd make more money and you wouldn't get any blame. People would say, you got to give Patrick his safe space. In fact, you'd get canceled for criticizing Patrick. Yeah, he agreed with me.
Yeah, that is tremendous. He is Frank Isola, author of the first book that I ever read, Just Born, The Chaotic Rise. Yeah, I love that book, Frank, and I love you. Thank you for the time. We appreciate the insight. We'll talk to you soon.
You're the best. Say goodbye. Say hello to my boy, BT.
Will do. BT is off today. I'll tell him you said hello. All right, there you have it. Frank Isola giving the insight there with the Knicks. BT and I will be out there. We know Evan Tiki will be out there. I heard Boomer and Gio talking about it this morning. They had Ruben on. So we'll be doing our show. And then for SNY, actually, I'll be there for both SNY and WFAN on Saturday doing a show on The Fan from 1 to 4 and then the panel for SNY and Baseball Night New York. We're going to Piazza, Franco, Gooden, and Kenan Thompson of Saturday Night Live, who had no idea he was a Met fan, but we'll get a chance to hang out with him. So it's going to be a great event with Fanatics Fest. Make sure you check that out. All right, we'll get back to the calls here, 888-808-1019. Always fun talking with Frank, who's got great insight with the NBA and covered the Knicks for a long time. And to me, the two takeaways that I would take from that interview with Frank, the most important things. Number one, now again, I was told from people that I trust this was 100% Leon Rose. If he's not making this decision, he'd walk away. And like, I trust that. I do believe that. I don't think this was a spot where Dolan came in with a heavy hand and said, fire Tibbs or else. But Frank gave you the other side of it, saying that he believes that Dolan was maybe more involved than some people are saying. So that was of interest. The other thing, and this is maybe the more important thing for me, because what's done is done, doesn't really matter. Now it's about moving forward, that Jeff Van Gundy is a realistic possibility. I mean, Van Gundy is a current assistant. He's well-liked, well-respected. He wants to be a head coach. Now, would he take a job that his good buddy, in Frank's words, one of his best friends, Tom Thibodeau, just got fired from? Would he do that? Maybe there could be some awkwardness there, but Van Gundy is a Knick. The relationship with the Brunsons, if his relationship with Leon Rose is something that, you know, can bring them two together and maybe mend the issues, whatever they were with Dolan. I wouldn't bet on it, but I think it's at least realistic, and that would be my number one choice. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Fred is in the Bronx. What's up, Freddie?
Salvatore.
Freddie.
I agree with you for this specific job. Van Gundy is the absolute best fit. I'm not as high on Kidd as you and Frank are. I've got two other names. One you will reject, and the other you might make number three.
Okay.
Chris Mullin.
No,
Chris Mullin would
out.
Be the first one.
Immediately out.
I knew you were going to reject him.
Okay. I think BT would even reject it. BT loves Chris Mullin. I think he'd even reject it. Hey, if he couldn't succeed at St. John's, why would I want him head coach? No offense. I'm not trying to disparage the great Chris Mullin. I don't want him to be the head coach of the Knicks.
And the other one is someone Van Gundy would endorse as well. another former Johnny, Mark Jackson. I think Mark Jackson might be a very good fit.
I'm not as out on Jackson as I would be on Mullen, but I think that ship has sailed with Mark Jackson. He did a great job with Golden State. Then there were some issues, the religious stuff, other stuff that maybe went on that I'm not going to get into here, but Mark Jackson has not gotten hired since, so I don't think they're going to go down that road. Neither would I. I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world, but I would not go down that road.
Got it. Great job.
Thank you, Freddie. Appreciate you checking in. I mean, look, you can throw out all the names that you want, and you don't have to be that high on Jason Kidd. The reason why I am high on Kidd, and I didn't love him as a player with the Knicks. He was a great net, obviously, all-time great player. But I didn't love him with the Knicks, even though he had some success. I don't know, something about Kidd rubbed me the wrong way. I always felt like there was like a, what's the word that I want to use to describe it?
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I don't know, there's like some like hidden darkness there with Kidd where I feel like there's no loyalty. You know, we saw what happened with the Nets and the head coaching thing. Like, I don't trust Jason Kidd. It's why I don't trust the Luka Doncic situation where he's saying, oh, I was blindsided by it. I'm calling BS on that. Even with all the reports saying that Kidd had no idea about the Doncic trade. And you tell me the head coach had no idea that a trade of that magnitude was coming. And if it is really the case, if that is 100% true, then if you're Jason Kidd, wouldn't you be bothered to a point where you'd be like, I can't even trust the general manager. I got to get the hell out of here. And maybe that would bring you back to the Knicks. But there is something about Kidd that I think he could be he was a great player. He's been a good head coach. He's got experience. He's, you know, familiar with Brunson. He's familiar with New York and can be a nice combination of a guy who's got some experience, but also a newer wave head coach, modern day NBA head coach. That's why I'd be on board with Kidd. I don't love the loyalty aspect of it. Like I said, there's something about Kidd that just turns me off a little bit, but it doesn't mean he can't be a successful head coach here. Scott is in Manhattan. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's up, Sal? Listen, am I happy with the firing? No, 64 as a Knicks fan. Listen, but I mean, Kidd's brought a lot of this on himself, and there's a number of things that we can point out that happened. You know, not saying he didn't get the team where they at. I'm happy for that, but sometimes change is good. And I think that the guys are professional enough now in that team. I don't think there's a bunch of guys in that that locker room right now, caring for Tibbs being gone. Because I mean, I'm Brunson supported him, but
Then that's fair, Scott. Like, just because I didn't like the move or other people don't like the move, right, doesn't mean that it's not the right move. So then I would just counter by saying, well, who do you want to hire that you believe is going to be better than Tom Thibodeau?
Well, it's not. Sometimes the Knicks are on the right trajectory. They're going in the right direction. So therefore, you're going to bring somebody in here. This is a new guy. You don't know, but I think they have enough there right now, the core professional guys there that with experience to keep this team going where it's at. So,
are you saying it doesn't matter?
I'm saying you bringing a new guy. You're saying arbitrarily. You're just saying if somebody else new comes in that never coached before, that the team is just going to go down in a downward spin. I don't believe that. That's all.
Okay, and that could happen. But I asked you to name a head coach, and you basically, it sounds like you're saying it doesn't matter who it is because you believe in the talent that they have.
You can throw out a bunch of names, but that doesn't mean anybody's going to come, Sal. I mean, we can sit here and throw
But who do you want? Who do you want?
I believe, like you said, I think Van Gundy is the best fit. I agree with you 100%.
Okay.
But how do we know Van Gundy want to come back?
We don't.
I agree with you. That's the best option right now. 100%.
We don't, Scott, and thank you for the call. No, I was not trying to be combative there. I was trying to just ask you generally. You said, okay, well, you don't want Tom Thibodeau. You want a new voice. Well, who? So for me, there are reasons why I don't want Johnny Bryant. I admit, I don't know a lot about Johnny Bryant. I know he's an assistant, but I know enough to know that he has not coached a game as a head coach in the NBA. I don't want that. I don't really like that in general, but I certainly don't want that now. And yes, I'm aware of the Steve Kerr example that everybody keeps throwing out there, and there have been other examples that, okay, inexperience can work immediately. I do not believe that that's the case here. It could be proven wrong. I love to be proven wrong. For that to be the case, Johnny Bryant would have to come here and win a championship. So I've been wrong before. I'd certainly take that being wrong again with the Knicks winning a championship. I have the best interest in doing what I believe would get the Knicks to being a championship team. They're doing what they believe is going to be best to make them a championship team. I would have kept Tom Thibodeau. You know why? Because that's proven. It's proven that he has built this thing up and is as close as they have been in 25 years to attaining the goal that everybody wants to achieve. Now you fire him for the singular goal of making this team even better, meaning 6 wins better, which would be a championship, NBA champ. 6 wins better. Who's going to be the guy that you believe can take them to the next level? 6 wins better. Me, after the firing of Thibodeau, there's only one coach definitively that I feel that is available that is better than Tom Thibodeau, and that's Jeff Van Gundy. Could have been Udoka. He's not available. Can make the argument from some other guys, maybe not available. Van Gundy's available. I don't even know if Jason Kidd's definitively better than Tom Thibodeau, at least in my mind. But I'd be okay with that. Johnny Bryant, how can anybody tell you that he's better than Tom Thibodeau definitively? Now, it doesn't mean that he can't have better success immediately or win a championship at some point. But I have my doubts. And the resumes from others would give you less reason to doubt. I want more of a known commodity, as sure a thing as you could possibly get. You want to eliminate the question marks. With Bryant, an inexperienced first-time head coach, there are too many question marks. The one thing is, and I said this earlier, where like there's a thought like, oh, feel bad for Tom Thibodeau, and thanks for all you did, coach. Like this guy doesn't have it as great as anybody in life right now. He was just relieved of his duties and is getting paid $30 million to do so, not to mention all the money that he's made in his career to date. Yeah, okay, great. He loves basketball. You know what? I think he'll figure out a way to survive. Is $30 million, though, because I heard this Hoff, Boomer, and Gio were talking about, I guess Tibbs doesn't have, you know, any family, no wife, no kids. So then I started thinking in my own mind, like, God, I wish they would fire me and give me $30 million to go away. Like, I think everybody's goal in life, it used to be like, yeah, like I grew up listening to the fan. Once I discovered Mike and the Mad Dog, that's all I wanted to do. Now my goal in life is to be fired, but to get paid $30 million to do so. Let me go away and make this money. So Tibbs has set a new path for people, young people that maybe they could aspire to. But then I thought about this as I'm going through the realization, A, that it would never happen, but just through like the fantasy in my mind, like what if I did get fired like Tibbs, but was getting paid $30 million? Would that be something? I try to put myself in his shoes. And I don't think it would be as enjoyable, as crazy as this sounds. I don't think that would be as enjoyable solo. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I would need my wife and daughter there. Now, I'm sure that once I have my wife and daughter there, they'd be a part of me that's like, all right, here's a couple million. Get the hell away. Let daddy do what he's got to do for the weekend or whatever it may be, or for a couple of weeks or for a couple of months. But ultimately, it feels lonely to just not do what you love doing every day, even if you have all the money in the world to go do whatever you want, but to do it by yourself?
Hold on, but like, let's be honest. Like, okay, so he's not going to coach. That doesn't mean he's not going to go back to TV or he's going to do something else like around basketball.
Why would you want to do that if you had that much money?
Well, because you love basketball. That's your love, dude. You know what I mean? So, like,
I guess.
If that's his love, he'll probably still get back into it somehow.
But he's still got to commute, like, while he loves
it. Or does he have to? It doesn't have to. Well, he's making the money. He could do it. He could do it from home.
I guess if you could do it from home, different story. I don't know. Isn't there something, though, to the loneliness that seems to be? Fired from the job that you love. It's all you've done your whole life. There's nothing. There's no immediate. Now, I don't know his inner circle of family or friends or whatever, but, like, you know, it's not like he could call up Jeff Van Gundy, but, hey, JBG, you want to go on vacation? He's doing his thing. He's working. So when you dedicate yourself that much to your job, and then when that's over, whether you're fired, whether you're retired, whatever, I don't know if there's enough money in the world that can make me feel complete if I'm by myself is the point.
But I bet he's not by himself. I bet no matter what, even though he may not be like...
He's not married with kids.
Okay, but you're telling me, first of all, that when he goes somewhere that he's not around other people, that people don't just get flocked to him? So he may not directly have somebody with him, but there's no chance he's not going to a bar and he's sitting there by himself and everyone's staying away. There's at least like 10, 15 people huddled around him trying to listen to stories, listen to whatever. Like, he's probably just a big party everywhere he goes. And look at that hair.
You're telling me that
hair is... And attract attention.
How old is Tibbs? He's 70?
I think he's 70.
Okay. So there's a point, like if it's 30-year-old Sal, I guess anywhere from, what year did I meet my wife? You know, pre-2015, I think is when I met my wife. So like, you know, 25 to 37-ish or whatever it may be, that Sal would love to have nothing to do by himself, $30 million coming to you. This, Sal, like as I get older, I think the older you get, the more lonely it can feel if you're not surrounded by somebody, regardless of the money. What's the point of having 30 million if I have nobody to share it with? I want to go to Hawaii and build a house and go on vacation and go here and go there. I don't want to do it by myself. You'd have somebody do it with you.
Yeah, I mean...
You sound like you want to do it by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
How old are you, huh?
42.
Yeah, I mean, I got a few years on you.
I'm tired, dude. I want to enjoy it.
At 70, you think you want to be by yourself?
Yes. Don't you just want alone time for like a long time?
I think alone time is good. I think alone time with that much money is not, to me, it's like almost defeats the purpose.
All right, how about this?
You could be alone with, you know, 40 grand. You don't need 30 million.
All right, so when Bill Belichick gets relieved of his duties over at North Carolina and he's got the rest of his life to live.
Yeah, that's why Jordan Hudson comes into play.
Okay, so would you be wanting to walk around with a young 25-year-old who's going to be nagging you all day long, or you want to be Tom Thibodeau who can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants?
I'm telling you, I think that gets old. Now, maybe I'm just showing my maturity at age 45, but I was thinking about it, and I'm like, man, maybe it's not as great as it would seem. You mean you have nothing to do? You got $30 million coming? You can do whatever you want, but you're by yourself? 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the fan. Steve is in Flushing. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Sal. Yeah, just, you know, I was going to talk, you know, about the coaching, future coaching prospects and Knicks, but just on this Tibbs being alone thing that you just brought up, I'm pretty sure he's going to find a girlfriend. I'm sure he's going to find a significant other. It doesn't have to be marriage, but, you know, no human being is going to go just live like a hermit for $30 million.
Fair enough. You still got to start. I mean, kids at 70, a little rough. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Belichick set the playbook, so, you know, he's probably going to follow that. But anyway.
Good point. Yeah, good.
So on the Knicks, though, you brought up a good point, which I agree with, and it's a two-part solution to this Knicks issue. And you are right. It has the potential to be disastrous if they only follow through with one part. And I think they're going to follow what the Celtics did a few years ago, because that's another example no one brings up with the first-year head coach they had, and they won a title with this guy. And you would have been the guy on sports radio who Brad Stevens left after 5-6 years. Like, what? Brad Stevens left? Who are they going to get? Who are they going to get? You know, so... So it works. The guy from Oklahoma
City could
win this year too.
It could work.
Listen, there's a two right. But so why did it work for the Celtics? That's what the Knicks have to follow the blueprint. So it's a two part thing. You get a new coach who's capable, and this guy, looked at his background. This guy Johnny Bryant, he's got all the skill set to be a good coach. They say he's good working with players individually to help improve their defense. He's good at ball movement. He's good at making sure the team passes the ball around a lot, which the Knicks did not do. So he brings some strength, but you have to tweak and add some really decent high-end role players. That's what the Celtics did. They added Porzingis. They added
You're going to get better players. Then why not have a go at it with Tibbs? And the one thing, Steve, that you're not accounting for while you bring up excellent points, just because I don't like the firing and I don't believe in a first-time head coach under these circumstances doesn't mean that it can't work. You're right. I mean, I've yelled and screamed about things before on Sports Radio and been proven wrong. Like, we do that as fans. It happens. It's okay. It's how I feel, though. I would not want an inexperienced head coach. The one thing you're not factoring in when somebody brings up Boston, while that is a great market, it's still Boston. While somebody brings up Kerr and what went on with the Warriors, it's not New York. We're a different animal here. And it's not New York in a spot where this team was down for 25 years. 25 years. How many different head coaches did they try before they finally found the right guy to build them up consistently? They had some good guys. They ran out of town. D'Antoni, whatever it may be. Hiring the first-time guys, Fisher and Hornacek. Those guys look great, certainly at the press conference with Derek Fisher. They brought in Larry Brown. They had Isaiah Thomas. They've tried it different ways. Tibbs was the only one to make it stick. And now they move on from him because he fell 6 wins short of the ultimate goal. I would have at least given him one more year and then maybe entertain moving on. And also, I'd never hire a first-time head coach in New York with that amount of pressure to take this team to win a championship. That's it. That's the goal.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.